Today, across the entire United States, we celebrate Respect Life Sunday. I think it's a pretty powerful meditation for us to think about the fact that the entire universe, everything around us in the visible world, in the planet Earth itself, with all of the oceans, all of the continents, was created for our sake, for the sake of sustaining human life. Human beings were not some sort of afterthought, like after God had created the animals and everything that fills the earth, he says, there's something missing. We'll throw human beings in there too. Now, human beings are unique. And we hear in the book of Genesis that only human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. That God gives us life as a free gift, and only human beings are able to enter into a covenantal relationship with God. You know, we need an intellect and a free will in order to know and to love God and to enter into a relationship with Him. And in the covenant, the Lord adopts us as His children, as His sons and daughters. And so the world exists in order to sustain and to support human life so that we can be fruitful and multiply and fill the world with God's children. You know, this is what shapes our Christian worldview, the view that we have of the world around us and the sacredness of each and every human life, because each one of us is created in the image of God. But this is certainly not a worldview that we can take for granted, because not everybody holds this worldview. This month marks the 100th anniversary of the founding of Planned Parenthood. It was founded in October of 1916 by a woman by the name of Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger is described online as an activist, a social reformer, and a person who fought for women's rights. But what Margaret Sanger believed in is what we call eugenics. She thought that it was better for the human race if certain undesirable groups were eliminated from the gene pool. For example, African Americans, Jews, poor people, immigrants, anyone with a disability. If we eliminate them from the gene pool, then that'll strengthen the human race as a whole. That's what she supported. She advocated what's called the American Baby Code, which would say that no man or woman would have a legal right to conceive a child unless they received a permit from the government. So the government could control who was having children and who wasn't, and they would issue a permit which would be valid for the birth of only one child. A few quotes from Margaret Sanger, and you can find more online if you want to do a little bit of research on her. But when she describes these undesirable groups, the poor and immigrants and African Americans, she says, quote, "They're human weeds, reckless breeders, spawning human beings that never should have been born." Another quote, "The most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it." Emphasis on the pronoun it. In a 1957 interview with Mike Wallace, she said, "I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world." And one more quote, she said, "We should apply a stern and rigid policy of sterilization and segregation to that grade of population whose progeny is tainted or whose inheritance is such that objectionable traits may be transmitted to offspring." These ideals of Margaret Sanger continue to be enshrined in Planned Parenthood today, which is an organization that spread through the whole country, and they open their clinics primarily in African-American or lower-income communities because that's who they want to target with their abortions. So as I said, we can't take the Christian worldview for granted and say, oh yeah, every human life is sacred, everybody believes that. No, that's not the case. There are two very different worldviews that are prominent and competing against each other within our society. Pope St. John Paul II called these the culture of life and the culture of death. Our Christian message is a matter of life and death. Look at what happens and look at how far astray people can fall when they turn away from God and they don't recognize the plan that God has for the world. It ends up in this culture of death where innocent people are killed. The rallying cry of the movement that Margaret Sanger was a part of in our world today is the pro-choice movement. And it's part of the feminist movement. And I think it's important for us to distinguish between a positive and a healthy feminism and a destructive feminism. Because there's certainly a good form of feminism. What is it that helps women to flourish as human beings and to be the women that God has created them to be? So something like equal access to education. Yeah, that's certainly important and a good result of feminism that women have access to a quality education. Or receiving equal pay for equal work. Absolutely. But there's a toxic strain of feminism that when it looks at some of the differences between men and women, one of those being motherhood, that it views that as something to be eliminated. That for the liberation of women, abortion and contraception are necessary. Well, that's an attack on motherhood. A healthy feminism will view the differences between men and women as something beautiful. And motherhood is a gift that is exclusively given to women. And it is a beautiful gift. And it is something sacred that should be cherished. Whereas the toxic strain of feminism would say we need to destroy that. But if you look at the lived experience of women, ask women who have had abortions whether they're proud of their action and whether they're happy and whether it's brought them peace. And what you'll find is it's brought deep wounds. It harms women deeply. And they live with the guilt of having an abortion for years and years. And we have ministries within the church like Rachel's Vineyard that are set up to help these women to process what's happened and to find healing because it is something that's so painful and is so destructive. And time again, women have abortions not because they choose to have abortions, but because they feel they have no choice. And so an authentic feminism is going to look at what's truly good for a woman and support that, rather than trying to eliminate motherhood as something that is destructive and oppressive to women. This difference between the culture of life and the culture of death also finds its way heavily in our political world. You know, recently there have been the debates over whether to defund Planned Parenthood after it was demonstrated that they were violating various laws. And there were people in the government, politicians, who were supporting Planned Parenthood and were fighting for this organization. We also see it in the presidential election. Hillary Clinton, and you can find a YouTube video of her saying this, she said that she admires Margaret Sanger and her vision. I'll say that again. She admires Margaret Sanger and her vision. And the ironic thing is that Hillary Clinton gets the majority of her support from women. Why is it that women are supporting Hillary Clinton if Hillary Clinton is supporting something that is so painful and so destructive to women? Well, I think a lot of women have been deceived and they've bought into a false view of feminism rather than seeing what God's plan is and recognizing the sacredness of motherhood and the beauty of that gift. They see that as something that they have to be liberated from. And so I think a lot of women have bought into this toxic view of feminism rather than upholding God's plan for women. So what can we do as we celebrate Respect Life Sunday? Well, first, I think we need to recover an understanding of what God's plan is. What His plan is for the creation of the world, that it's to sustain human life, and the role that women play in that with the gift of motherhood. To recover the beauty of that and the understanding of the sacredness of every human life, since every human being is created in the image of God. Also, I think in today's second reading, St. Paul gives us some words of wisdom when he says, "Do not be ashamed of your testimony to the Lord." Do not be ashamed to testify to the gospel of life. If we as Christians are not proclaiming the gospel of life, nobody else is going to do it. It falls to us, if we are Christians, to bear the message of Christ to the world. And it's a message where our culture is slipping into the culture of death and it needs the light of the gospel. It needs the light of truth to set it free. So what can we do on a practical level? Well, first, we have the collection for the right to life. donate money to that or to pregnancy centers so they can buy diapers and formula and ultrasound machines and give parenting classes to unwed mothers so that women have support and that they're not forced into a situation where they feel that they have to have an abortion. Give them another option. So support the cause with your finances. Second, for our young men and women, be responsible in your moral behavior and live out chastity. No relations between a man and a woman outside of marriage. If people leave the relationship, the relations between a man and a woman to their proper context, the sacrament of holy matrimony, a man and a woman who are in a faithful relationship of love, who are married, and who are open to children, then there would not be the need for abortion and contraception. So for our young men and women, live out the virtue of chastity and make good decisions with your moral behavior. Third, prayer. Pray for the success of the pro-life movement. Pray for the conversion of souls. Pray for the victims of abortion, the mothers and fathers, the children. Pray for a conversion of heart of those who are in the abortion industry, doctors, nurses, and for those who are politically supporting abortion. Pray for their conversion. Fourth, cast your vote for the common good. Vote in a way that supports the most fundamental human right, which is the right to life. And finally, witness with your words and actions to the gospel of life. Some of you in the coming months and years will be in a situation where you might be talking to someone who is deciding whether to have an abortion or not. And sometimes all it takes is one person who supports them in the decision to life, or one person who can refer them to a place where they can get help, a pregnancy center. And that could be the difference between life and death for a child. So as St. Paul says, do not be ashamed of your testimony to the Lord. Defend the culture of life with your words and in your actions.